Hello, everybody. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a good week. We are continuing our Bible study here, or not really our Bible study, but our preaching series, I guess it slash can be a Bible study too, off and on. But Psalms 9. We're kind of looking at Psalms 9 and we're breaking these verses down. This is part 3. The other parts are, you can stroll up, actually down, I think it would be down, and you can find part 2 and part 1 of this preaching slash teaching series. And it's very important to kind of, because you will not get the full impact of this sermon series without listening to the other two parts. I want to really emphasize that tremendously. Before we go into this, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just to get into your word. I pray as we go into your word that you give me the strength to speak what you need me to speak. I lean on you. Let the Holy Spirit pour through me. Whatever direction that you want to take this, I have all my notes down. But in the end, you take over. If it takes us 10 parts to go through this psalm, so be. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Holy Spirit, those that are listening, wherever they're at in their life right now, I don't know where they're at. I don't know where they're at. I don't know in the sense of financially and they're at, or if they're feeling the strain somehow of this world tearing them apart. Maybe it's the crushing depression around them, the anxiety seizing their lives, crippling them. They can't even see straight. We have a God that can break the chains of depression. We have a God that can break the chains of anxiety. Our God is powerful. We have a God that understands, and he is telling you, come to him. Come to him right now. You may not know what that looks like. Just hit your knees. So God, I don't know what this looks like, but here I am. Here I am, God. Take this pain. Oh, the pain of this life can be devastating. It can rattle us. It can shake us. But we have a God that will be there for us, and that will comfort us, and that will help us, give us the strength and the peace within that storm to keep pressing on. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name. So this is part 3. The last two parts we broke down. Verse 1, and those messages are probably, that message is all together, is about 2 hours long. I don't know how long this is going to be, probably, you know, another hour. So Lord knows how, you know, in the sense of when we're done, when everything's said and done and we're done with this series, how long it may be. It may be up to 10 to 15 hours, who knows. But we're looking at verse 2. And we're going to read that verse now. And I'm going to talk about it a little bit. Verse 2, Psalm 9, verse 2 says, "As I will be glad and rejoice in thee, I will sing praise thy name, O thy most high. David is saying here that he is glad. David is saying he's rejoicing in this gladness. He's rejoicing. And see, this rejoicing is leading to his praising the name of God. There is power in the name of God. I don't know if you ever really look at the many titles that God is given in the Old Testament, which is written in Hebrew. I want to just go over a little bit of some of these titles right now. And maybe you've never heard of them. Maybe you'll hear them. Maybe you'll jot them down and go back and do some research on where these titles are at. Now, when you're looking through, especially the King James Version or any other, you will see the Lord's name is in that top verse in verse 9:1. O Lord, it's capitalized there, LORD. Every time that's capitalized, is referring to, we could say, name, a name of God, or a title of God. And one of God's titles is Elohim. Elohim. That is mighty creator. We serve a God. And this it can be seen. I'm not going to go everywhere where these are located, because we'll be here a long time. But we can see this in Genesis 1:1, right? God created the heavens and the earth. Our God is a mighty creator. And I'm just going to start naming these names down. His titles. El Shaddai. That is Lord God Almighty. Adonai. Lord, our Master. Elanah. The Most High God. Elohim. The Everlasting God. El Roy. That is the Strong One who sees. I want to tell you, our God sees. You may think you're hiding from our God, but our God is so vast. He sees me preaching right now, and He sees somebody else that may be witnessing over in China right now, or in Russia right now, or wherever it may be. He sees all. He knows all. Yahweh, Jehovah. Jehovah Nissan, that is, Lord is my banner. Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, that is the Lord that heals. Jehovah Shema, Shemaah, that is the Lord is there. Jehovah Shekinah, that is the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Mashiach, that is the Lord who sanctify you. Jehovah Jireh is the Lord will provide. I want to tell you, our Lord will provide for us. Jehovah Shalom, that is the Lord is peace. Jehovah Shabbat, that is the Lord of hosts. Oh, the name of our God. You may have not heard of these Hebrew names for our God, the titles are given throughout the Old Testament, but I tell you, in itself, that alone is a Bible study, and I encourage you guys to do that kind of Bible study, because there's power in the name of our God, and knowing His titles, or you could say His names. Our God is great. Do not think He does not know what you're going through. He sees all. He knows all. You cannot hide from our God. Adam and Eve, if you go and you flip over to Genesis 1, 2, and 3, you know, they in that two-part in verse, I mean, in chapter 2, about mid-part down all the way to 3, and you read 3 down, and you read about the disobedience, and what even Adam did, Adam and Eve did, and how they took of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, and God told them not to, but that disobedience that they did, that they went against God, and when they went against God's word, a curse fell upon them and this world. We live under that curse. Once what was good is now a curse. We live in a cursed world. Sin has came into this world, and I want to know, we will experience the consequence of our sin. They experience the consequence of that sin, and we live under that, and that's why we have death. That's why we have disease. That's why we have bad weather. That's why we have poverty. That's why many are going hungry every day. It's not God's fault. Quit pointing your fingers at God. God is good, regardless how you want to feel, because He is not guilty. We are. And I know these type of messages, they will not sell. They will not sell at a Joe Osteen church, a Steve Furtick church, a Clef Dollar church, I'm trying to think of Beth Moore, Joyce Meyer. They don't sell there. This don't sell. But I want to tell you, the foundation is cracked. When we are supporting these individuals that are heretics, and they're not preaching the truth of the gospel. They're preaching this psychology, this feel good, this motivational speech that is not doing any good for us. Why? Because look at the world. It's still crumbling all around us. And it will get worse. They're not going to preach convicting messages. Oh, how the pulpits in America are filled with clowns that wants to entertain the audience. The audience is appraising them, throwing their money at them. They cannot get enough of this entertainment. Oh, our churches here in America, they just look like this world. Our foundation is cracked. We need to turn back to the Word of God and start worrying about how people will get offended with the truth of the gospel. Oh, we need to grow a spine. God's words tells us marriage is between a man and a woman, not a man and a man or a woman and a woman. We need to boldly stand. We need to stand up on all life matters. The life within the womb of that mother is a life. We need to stand. That abortion is murder. Murder. Oh, how the pulpits will not speak on holiness, sanctification. The Word of God tells us our God is jealous. We look at America, you look at all the idols that we have. That all them idols need to fall to the ground. Our jobs, our careers, they don't mean nothing if we don't have the true living God. It doesn't mean nothing if we're not giving God as much time as we're giving our work, our careers, our families. God takes the centerpiece. He is priority. He is primary, the centerpiece of our lives, and He should get more time than anything. You're clocking 40 hours at work, and you clock 40 hours at home studying and praying and seeking God's face. You're like, I ain't gonna do that. Well, you got issues, brother. You got issues, sisters, because your priorities are all jacked up. Your job and career becomes your idol. You worship it. When you put it before God, you're showing that has the most importance in your life. I want to tell you, studying God's Word, seeking His His direction, praying daily, should during a week take more hours that you contribute at work. But guess what? Majority of people, especially here in America, could care less. It's those that are carrying the title as Christian, professing and know God, but their hearts are so far from them because their career is their God. Their family is their God. The Word of God tells us sex for marriage is a sin. Just looking at a woman, having a lustful thought is a sin. And I could keep going on and on. You want to keep on sinning? Oh, the American churches here, they love this message of sin, 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 not repentance of the heart. Oh, God seeks that repentance. Sin should break our heart. It should grieve our spirit. If we are His, our heart should be broken. But is it broken? Idolatry is a sin. If it doesn't grieve you that you really spend more time at work than studying God's Word, you have issues. If you don't keep on sinning without repentance in your heart, you don't get heaven. You get hell. The devil got you right where he wants you. I'm going to tell you today, wake up, because the flames of hell are waiting for you. The flame of hell is waiting for you. The torment that is waiting for you the rest of your life will be worse than anything that you will experience in this life. Do you understand that? He tells us through His Word, the Word of God. You do not have to go to hell. You don't have to. If you've never heard a true message of salvation, or you need somebody to rattle your cage, here I am. I am on flame. The Holy Spirit is burning in my loins. I will rattle that cage, I promise you. I will shake it right off the wall, wherever it takes. Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. A wage as a earning, meaning you are working for that wage. That wage, that earning your sin will lead you to death. And where does death? Here is speaking of that physical death. You are not in, if you die, the wages of sin is death. That is a physical death that leads to a spiritual death. We are all appointed to that time of death. For the wages of sin is death. That's that physical death, and that's that spiritual death. That is when you die physically here in your sins, unrepented. You will face God, and God will look down on you, and He will announce that judgment on you, and you will have that spiritual death. That spiritual death is that spiritual damnation, meaning you don't get eternal life, meaning you don't get to stay in His presence. You don't get to experience what He has for us. It's going to be beyond what we can ever imagine what He has for those that love Him. But those that love Him do not love their sin. Those that love Him do not want to, they don't want to make a name for themselves here. They don't want to elevate their career, and they don't want to elevate their job status. They don't want to elevate anything else above God. God is sitting on that centerpiece for them. He is the centerpiece of their life. Those that love Him will get heaven, and those that will make Him second to their life will get hell. I'm telling you, it's getting real, and people do not want to acknowledge this. They don't want to accept this type of message, and I'm telling you, millions and billions are going to hell because they do not want to hear what sin does to your life. They want to live in their sin, not away from their sin. Oh, how message today. They don't talk about sin. They don't hear about sin. Oh, preacher man, entertain me. Oh, preacher man, tell me something I want to hear. Oh, preacher man, motivate me. Tell how God's going to bless me with everything I want. Oh, I don't hear about suffering. I don't want to hear about how I'm a sinful person. Oh, don't preach on sin. Preach on the goodness of this life. Galatians 5:16, 1-21 says this, and this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. So you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lascivia. Now we're preachers. When they start talking about sin, they will reference this verse, this passage, or others that are scattered throughout the Bible. They can say, here's what sin is. You want to be confused on what your sin is? Idolatry. What is that? Witchcraft, hate, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, reviling, which such like of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. This is plain text here. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. What Paul is saying here through the Holy Spirit, pulling through him and having him write these things, writing this, these works of the flesh. You're doing these and you're loving doing these and you're not having repentance of your heart and you want to live in it. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. You will not go to heaven. But verse 22 says, but the fruit of this is what we're supposed to strive for. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and the lusts. And I could provide a whole lot more verses. But you're truly a God, truly a child of God, you will not be okay with sin in your life. You will not be okay with the works of the flesh. They should be grieving you. Why? Because you should have the Holy Spirit living inside you. John 14:16 says, I will pray the Father. I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comfort that may abide with you forever. John 14:26 says, but the comfort which is the Holy Spirit, that we don't have to be confused on what he's referring to. The comfort that's the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever as I have said unto you. John 14:26 says, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth proceeds to the Father, he shall testify of me. John 16:7-8 said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, is expedient for you I go away, for I go not away. The Comforter will not come unto you, but I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he come, he will reprove the world of sin, the world of sin, right, and of judgment. I don't think I wrote that one right down. Let me flip to it real quick. John 16:7-8. It says, and when he comes, he will prove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I think it didn't look right when I typed this out. But if you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, he will guide you and he will direct you. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. See, it's that Holy Spirit that causes that chastisement and that scourging. Hebrews 12:6-11 says, for whom the Lord loved, he chastens, and he scourged every son who he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? But if ye be without chastisement thereof, all are partakers. Then ye are bastards, not sons. He's saying here, if you are not receiving this correction, this chastisement, and that scourging with that increase, when you feel like me, you're stubborn, you just keep on pressing against what you know you're not supposed to be doing, but you keep on doing it, it increases that chastisement, which comes into scourging, and this is painful. Verse 9 said, furthermore, we have had the fathers of our flesh correct us and gave us, and we give them reverence. Shall we not much rather be subject unto the Father of Spirit and live? For they vary for a day, chasten us for their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. And now no chasten for present seem to be joyous or grievous, nevertheless after yields what? The peaceful fruit of righteousness unto which are seemingly thereby. I'll tell you, this process of being more like Jesus is what it is all about. That is the sanctification process. That is us growing to be more. I'll tell you, if you do not want to grow more like Jesus, you got problems. You don't want to go have a closer walk with him, you got problems. I want to grow closer to him and walk close to him every day. I pray that you're like that too. I fell short, yes, I'm human. But the goal is to keep pressing forward, to be more like him and less like ourselves. There are many today in our church, especially here in America, living it up in their sins. They're loving it. They got those right hand-picked men in the pulpit, agents of Satan, telling them everything they want to hear. Oh, how it's music to their ears. And with social media today, just listening, me sharing this on Facebook and Twitter and other, there's opportunities for somebody to hear the truth. To recognize that person that you have in that pulpit is not preaching the truth. So you will be out without excuses if you come across this and you hear it for the first time and you do not like it. You just call this preacher a crazy man, which I am crazy for Jesus, and you don't decide to listen to any more messages, and you keep listening to these heretics whispering these sweet lies to you. You deny the truth. You accept the false truth that they're feeding you. May I see these Hollywood stars professing and know Jesus Christ, but their life is filled with sin and pleasure. And when you start calling these people out, you immediately get attacked. Would Jesus approve of a man that professing to know him, that stars in a movie, that's having sex with somebody that's not his wife on the television screen? Are you going to try to tell me Jesus is okay with that? Oh, but that guy's a Christian. Guy's on the screen, and I'm not going to blast out names, but he's on the screens cussing God left and right and saying every foul name. But oh, he's a Christian. I'm going to tell you, in your definition of Christian, yeah, your definition, which is not the definition in the Bible. Why? Because we are not supposed to walk in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And I read Galatians 5 here, and I could go in several other scriptures, but I want to tell you, that is why I call compound sin. They're knowingly committing, if that man or woman up there is married and they're knowingly on the big screen and they're having, well, acting like they're having sex, but I can guarantee you, I know how a man's mind works. If you're in that situation and you're pretending to be something, you're already going to commit it with your mind. We are not supposed to entertain sin. But America is an entertainment of sin. And the church, majority of the churches in America is an entertainment of sin. We are not preaching on what sin is. And we're not getting specific on what sin is. And I just got really specific on what sin is by looking at Galatians 5. And I've been more specific through time preaching on this. But I encourage you, go back over Galatians 5. Break down each of those terms. The works of the flesh, adultery, fornication, uncleanness. Look at all that. Lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hate, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, cessation, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, violence. Look at each one of them. Cross-reference. You will find out. You will find more scriptures pointing to what sin is. The Bible is very clear on what sin is. We are the ones that choose not to be clear. Our preachers choose not to expound on exactly what sin is because they're afraid they're going to lose their position. Maybe they're getting that nice six-figure income and they can live a good life. And all they have to do is preach a few hours a week and they can sit at home and relax. And I know there's more to the ministry than that. I'm just saying they may have to do a little counseling. But you look at where as time gets rougher and rougher and they have to stand out. It's just on homosexuality. I will tell you here in America, one day it will be illegal to preach against homosexuality. And watch these preachers fall to it. They will change their stance on it in a heartbeat. You may say, that's crazy. Well, you just watch. You see, God calls us to not look like this world, right? Romans 12, 1 through 2. Say, I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be proved that is good and acceptable for the perfect will of God. When we read these verses, it doesn't do something to your heart. There's problems. It doesn't make you examine who you are and maybe reflect on what happened during the day or whatever. We are supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. That's convicting to me because I failed. I failed today doing that. Being for real. I'm human. I'm struggling at work. My mind's not right. I need to get it right. I'm not perfect. I've never claimed to be. I know you will have these preachers that are career preachers. They're experiencing nothing. They sit in the pulpit a few hours or something, and then they twiddle their fingers the rest of the day. Lord knows what they're doing. Hopefully they're doing some street preaching. Hopefully they're doing a bunch more than other than two Sunday sermons and a Wednesday night Bible study. I pray they're doing a whole lot more. But you'd be shocked how much they're not doing. We're not supposed to be conformed to this world, guys. Because we are not of this world. This is not our home. We are just passing through. We should never be comfortable with this world. We should not be comfortable with those around us, the lost. We our hearts should be pouring out to them. Why? Because we're separate, but we still love them. But our bodies are a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable God, and we yearn for them to understand what is waiting for them. We know as children of God, we have heaven and we have Jesus, but they may not know or they may not care, but it doesn't care. That message is still the same. We need to preach that they need Jesus, and we need to expound that gospel message to anyone that God places in our path to speak to. We are supposed to be separate. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, therefore come out from among them, be ye separate, said the Lord. Touch not the unclean things, I receive you. God calls us to be separate. God calls us to walk in the Spirit, less in the flesh. The Holy Spirit dwelling us, because the Holy Spirit drives us to walk more like Jesus and less like ourselves. And where you sin, there should be a grief from that sin. The Holy Spirit should be that if you have the Holy Spirit, it will grieve you. And this leads to that repentance, turning away from that sin, asking forgiveness of that sin. I know that's not popular because you're New Age Christianity. They don't want to hear this. They're progressive. They don't think they need to hear about sin. They don't think they need to repent of anything. They don't think of anything of themselves. They could care less about the true gospel message than they want a message that pleases them, a message that has them as God, as a centerpiece. And when a preacher preaches that for them, he will be wealthy, because that's what the devil wants him, is feeding the millions, the thousands, the millions, and they're accepting it. And when a man comes along preaching that we are supposed to turn away from that, that we need repentance, and that we recognize that we're sinful and that should grieve our hearts, and they turn their ears from it because they do not want to hear. They're on that path, as Matthew 7 says, that wide path that leads to destruction, that wide path that will lead to their end, because they do not want to hear. But we need that narrow path of holiness and righteousness that leads to eternal life. Breaks my heart when I think about the many that will deny Christ. And hell's waiting for them. The truth will hurt. Life will hurt. Salvation is this free gift of being a follower of Jesus Christ, and cost you everything. But everything that you lose in this life because of Christ is worth it, because this life is just a puff, a vapor. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. Our true destination will last forever. Philippians 1:12 for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. This life means nothing without Jesus Christ at the center. And I pray that He is at your center. In closing, I know I probably really got off topic, but somebody needed to hear it, so it's on point, because that's what the Holy Spirit wanted to preach on this week. When we look at verse 2 here, guys, it says, I will be glad and rejoice to thee. That's praise. And I will sing praise to thy name, O thy most high. See, David understood praise. He understood worship. He was aware of the name, or names, I guess you could say names or titles of God. Of the God. Let's just go over those a little bit. Elohim, maybe you've never heard Elohim. That's God, the mighty creator. El Shaddai, Lord God Almighty. Adonai, our master. Elanah, that is the Most High God. Elohim, or Elohim, that is everlasting God. El Roy, that is the strong one who sees. And Yahweh, that's simply the Lord, Jehovah. Jehovah Nissa, or Nissa, that is the Lord, my banner. Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, that is the Lord that heals. Jehovah Shema, or Shema, that is the Lord is there. Jehovah Shekinah, that is the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Makadashah, that is the Lord who sanctifies you. Jehovah Jireh, that is the Lord will provide. Jehovah Shalom, that is the Lord. The Lord is peace. Jehovah Shabbatha, that is the Lord of hosts. Man, when you think about that and you just think how big our God is. David really got it. You see, when we praise and worship our God, we can praise and worship Him, each of these titles. He is the Creator. He is mighty. He's our Master. He's the Most High. He's an everlasting God. He sees all. He knows all. He's our Shepherd. He heals. He'll heal in this lifetime or the next. He is righteous. He sanctifies us. He provides for us. He gives us that peace. He will fight for us. Don't mean we won't have things in this life that we'll have to experience. But I want to tell you, I pray that you have my God. I pray that you have David's God. See, the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. We look at John 3:16, right? Most of us have that memorized. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life. That God is the same God of the Old Testament. He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, so He could bear the sins of this world. He is the Good Shepherd. He loves us. Jesus Christ had to die on that cross for you and me. And we know that He didn't stay on that cross. The resurrection. Rose from that tomb that third day. With the disciples for a little bit, but left us the Holy Ghost to provide comfort. You see, the Holy Ghost was not in them until in the Old Testament. The Holy Ghost was not in them until the New Testament. The Holy Ghost is in us. Jesus lives in us. The Holy Spirit that is in a child of God is so powerful, where we cannot even imagine. That's why sin grieves, or should grieve us. It should grieve us when we're creating these idols around us that are consuming our time. You're clocking more time at work than you are studying the Word of God or praying. There's problems. You come home and you just want to do something else other than studying God's Word or reading your or reading the Bible or praying or worshiping, praising Him, you got problems. Your work becomes your idol. And that should grieve you. I pray. And that's just one sin of many. All sin should grieve us. Talking ways that are not proper. Being involved in filthy communication. Talking any other way in the world. There should be a grieving of the Holy Spirit in us. And I pray today that you get that. You recognize that. You recognize how big our God is. And praying in His many titles is powerful. See, our God stands in our gap for us. Doesn't mean we're not going to go through things in this life. We will have storms. It's just how it is. We will have those valley lows. But that's how God grows us. Don't think when you're going through them valleys that God is not right there with you. He's right there with you. He is. Never think you're alone. I promise you, you're not. It's so easy to think that you're alone in those valleys. That you have no hope. But that's just a lie from the enemy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, just getting into your word. Lord, I pray, Lord, over those that are listening or will be listening to this. God, I pray it does something to their heart. That they examine their life. They look around them. They realize they have put you second where you're supposed to be first. They recognize the error of their ways. And they sit their heart and their eyes and their life by putting you first. Knowing that you are God, and without you, life would be meaningless. Without you, we would be most miserable. Knowing you, God, what you have done for your children, and knowing that this life is only when this life is up, when we appointed that point of death, that physical death, knowing that we are yours, will not have to experience that spiritual death, but spiritual life. That is heaven. And we praise you for that. And we thank you for that. Knowing whatever we're experiencing on this earth will not compare to what you have prepared for those that loves you, God. You know those that truly love you, and you know those that are just pretending to. You know the ones that love you with everything they got. They can't get enough of being in your presence. They'd rather be in your presence than anything else. Through praising and worshiping, studying. Your word. having that beautiful fellowship with our brothers and sisters, that beautiful communion with them. We yearn to reach those with the gospel. For today could be our last day to tell somebody about Jesus. Let that fire burn in us to reach out to them with the gospel. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Y'all have any questions, just reach out through an email or the other social areas like Facebook and Twitter, Instagram. Y'all have a good rest of the week. Bye.